Okay, go to 1 Kings. And what we're going to look at today is God never fails. You probably all knew that.
Yeah.
But it's a cool thing to look at and think about. And 1 Kings chapter 8. I didn't tell you the chapter, did I? And this section is where they were dedicating the temple, and Solomon was giving his whatever it was, oration, teaching, whatever. But he says something in verse 56 that's just really great. It says, "Blessed be the Lord that hath given rest unto his people Israel according to all that he promised." According to all that he promised. Everything. "There hath not failed one word of all his good promise, which he promised by the hand of Moses his servant." You know, you think about that. How many words did he give? You know, read through, you know, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, all those promises, all the things he said, Genesis. Not one word of his promise to Israel failed. That's pretty wild. We get promises broken all the time. You know, if you go back and read the original intent of Social Security or Medicare, you go, "Oh my God, didn't quite work out." But not God. God is always faithful. He's always true. He never fails. He never forsakes us. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 31. You have to keep that in your brain, that God never fails. He's always faithful. He's always true. He'll never break his promise. He'll always bring it to pass. Chapter 31 of Deuteronomy, verse 1, says, "And Moses went and spake these words unto all Israel." You got them all together. He must have had a powerful voice or something. "And he said unto them, I am 120 years old this day. I can no more go out and come in. Also the Lord hath said unto me, Thou shalt not go over this Jordan. The Lord thy God, he will go over before thee, and he will destroy these nations from before thee, and thou shalt possess them. And Joshua, he shall go over before thee, as the Lord hath said." So, you know, Moses led these people for 40 years in the wilderness, but he didn't get to go into the promised land. But he said, Joshua is going to do it. "And the Lord shall do unto them as he did unto Sihon and Og, the kings of the Amorites, and unto the land of them whom he destroyed. And the Lord shall give them up before your face, that ye may go, may do unto them according unto all the commandments which I have commanded you. Mm-hmm. Be strong and of good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go before thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee." How many times have we heard that in manifestations? You know, all the time, right? He will not forsake us. He will not fail us. He will go before us. It's the same God today as he was for them. Actually, we have a better situation, right? Because we're his children. They were his servants, but we're his children even more so. It doesn't matter what age you live in, what administration. It doesn't matter what the situation is or what the circumstances are. God never changes. He's always the same. He is always there for his people. This verse is quoted in Hebrews 13 also makes that point. Sometimes we look so hard to see God working in our lives, to believe God for deliverance. And it's always right there for us if we just get quiet and listen. Sometimes we're looking too hard, or we don't recognize the small little things he's doing to work out the situations. Sometimes we expect these Hollywood miracles, and he doesn't always work like that, does he? Sometimes it's the simplest things. Sometimes it's, you know, out of left field. You don't even know that he did it. Remember what we heard in Manifestations? He has resources we can't even imagine. You know, and that's the way he is. Sometimes it's very simple and discreet. You know? He just will do it, and all of a sudden things work out. And you go, where? How did that happen? Let's go to Psalm 9. Psalm 9. Verse 10. And they that know thy name will put their trust in thee, for thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek him. What a great thing. When we seek him, he doesn't forsake us. What does it say in Matthew about seeking the Lord? All these things should be added. Yeah. All these things shall be added unto you. Yep. We seek God. That's to be the focus of our life. You know, there's lots of things in life we focus on and do and blah, blah, blah. But God is supposed to be the focus. He's supposed to be who we live for, the reason for our existence. He gives us our very breath. Let's go to Psalm 37. Verse 28, for the Lord loveth judgment. And I believe the word there, judgment, is righteousness. For the Lord loveth judgment or righteousness and forsaketh not his saints. They are preserved forever, but the seed of the wicked shall be cut off. Those poor guys. Cut them off like a rotten something. Yeah, but us, we're preserved forever. He never forsakes us. He never lets us go. We don't know how God will provide when we have a need, but he will, absolutely. He may do a miracle, or he may do it some other way. That's his choice, right? We just look to him. We focus on him. Let's go to Philippians. Chapter 4. I talked about this a little bit last week, but in verse 19 it says, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. You know, he supplies our needs. Well, how does he supply our need?
However
he wants. I remember one time we needed a car, and I'm thinking, well, I need money to buy a car. Somebody gave us a car. He met the need, didn't he? It's, you know, it doesn't matter how we get it. It doesn't matter where it comes from. It doesn't matter who does it. It could be an unbeliever, couldn't it?
Yes.
It could very well be an unbeliever. It could be, you know, a believer. It could be an angel. It could be who knows what. Doesn't matter. It's God works in all kinds of ways, in all kinds of situations. But it says here, he shall supply how much?
All.
That means every need. Every need. Physically, spiritually, mentally, whatever. How about that? Isn't that something? And it's by his riches in glory. How much riches does God have? Well, we just heard before, even more than we can imagine. More than we can imagine. We sang that song, what did it say? We sang a song, I was trying to think about it before, one of the songs about when he comes back, it'll fill my heart with joy. Mm-hmm. And I thought, that really doesn't cover it. It's got to be much greater than that even. My heart will be overflowing with joy, happiness, whatever, beyond what we can even imagine how great it's going to be. But he will meet all our needs according to his riches in glory. By who? Christ Jesus. Because he paid the full and complete price. Incredible as it may be. Okay, let's go to Numbers. Chapter 21. Chapter 21. Okay. Verses 1 through 4 give us a little context. It says, when the king, Arad, the Canaanite, which dwelt in the south, heard tell that Israel came by the way of the spies, then he fought against Israel and took some of them prisoners. And Israel vowed a vow unto the Lord and said, if thou wilt indeed deliver this people into my hand, then I will utterly destroy their cities. And the Lord hearkened to the voice of Israel and delivered up the Canaanites, and they utterly destroyed them and their cities, and he called the name of the place Hormah. So, you know, they had this situation, they called to God, God delivered them, right? He gave them the victory. Then it goes on, and they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom, and the soul of the people was much, much discouraged because of the way. I guess they didn't like the road they took. It was too bumpy, or, you know, there weren't any nice restaurants along the way. Actually, what is it? You know, God's already delivered them from Egypt, right? The Red Sea's already been parted. The poison waters, when they came across, where they stopped when they needed water, was healed when they cut the tree and it fell in. They already got the manna, and so on and so forth. And so we get to this place, and now they're discouraged because they didn't like the way they were going. They didn't like the road that God chose. And the people spake against God and against Moses. That makes you kind of scratch your head, doesn't it? I mean, he did all this stuff. They saw the curse of Egypt. He saw them delivered. He saw, you know, the Egyptian army destroyed and, you know, get fed and all this other stuff. And now they're mad. Where have ye brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? And again, what difference does it make where you die? You know, you're dead, you're dead. It doesn't matter. Wilderness, Egypt, promised land. For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread. They didn't like the manna. It's a shame. You know, he sends them this food, which has to be a perfect food. You know, and for 6 days a week, they can gather all they want and eat as much as they want. But on the sixth day, they gather for 2 days. And if they gather too much, it rots. But it's enough for the Sabbath day, so they don't have to gather. And it keeps them healthy, right? Because it says somewhere in there, there was not a feeble knee among them. You know, kept them healthy and strong. And they're complaining about it. Was it in when the French Revolution started, they came to Marie Antoinette and they said, the people have no bread. And she said, let them eat cake. It's kind of like that. Yeah. Let them eat cake. She had no conception, right? These people had no conception of what God was doing for them. They loathed the light bread, the manna. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people and they bit the people and much people of Israel died. Well, because they cursed God. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned. You think? We have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. And Moses prayed for the people. What a great guy Moses was. How many times did they rebel against him? How many times did they try to hurt him or kill him? How many times did they want to go back to Egypt? And each time they get in trouble and they come to him and he prays for them. He just kept doing it. He kept praying for them and making intercession. It didn't matter that they were screwed up, because his job was what? Take care of the people. He was their shepherd. He was watching over them. He knew they were stupid. He knew they needed help. So Moses prayed for the people, and the Lord said unto Moses, make thee a fiery serpent and set it upon a pole. And it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he look upon it shall live. Now, what a solution.
Yeah.
You know, it's not a vaccine or a serum, right? It's not some medical device. He makes out of brass. He makes a serpent and he puts it on a pole. And if you look at it, you get healed. I mean, how does that work? Well, it just simply works because they obeyed. When they obeyed the word of God, they got deliverance. It's a very sense knowledge thing in a way, right? I mean, it doesn't appear to be, obviously it's a spiritual thing, but it didn't appear that way. And then, you know, later on in the Old Testament, we see where they took that brass serpent and they made it into a relic and they were worshiping it. And who was it? Hezekiah or one of those guys destroyed it because they had made it a religious object, because they thought that was more important than what God did for them. They worshiped it rather than God. You know, and that's just stupid people, right? But what a thing. Just make this brass serpent, put it on a pole, and when people look at it, they'll be healed. How easy is that? And Moses made a serpent of brass and put it on a pole, and it came to pass that if the serpent had bitten any man when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. He got healed. He got delivered. God met the need, didn't he? He met the need. He's always faithful. And when they asked, he took care of them, even though they were screwed up. They rejected God and Moses. They rebelled. But when God told Moses what to do, Moses obeyed, and the people listened, and they got healed. The answer of deliverance is sometimes in the senses realm. But how do we get to that place? Well, it was by revelation, right? God gave Moses revelation. And when the people obey the word, deliverance. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 3. You know, we just make it too hard sometimes. I sure did. 2 Corinthians, chapter 3. Chapter 3, verse 5. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. We should all put that on a sign and put it in front of our face every day. You know? Our sufficiency is not of ourselves. Boy, it's a hard one to get through the brain. You know, we think we can do it all ourselves. We think we can figure it all out. And we can't. God's our sufficiency. God's our strength. God's our provider. God's our healer. God is all in all. And he does it through his son, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ paid the full and complete price for everything. That's hard to comprehend or imagine. Yet he did. You know, we got a freebie. All we have to do is believe. All we have to do is listen. Let's go to Acts chapter 12. Chapter 12, verse 1. Now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hand to vex certain of the church. Vex is not a good word. It means he's going to hurt, torture, kill. And he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. It was the time of the Passover. This is many years after, you know, the time when Jesus Christ was crucified and resurrected, but it's that time of year again, the Passover. It's in the springtime. And the Jews were still not happy with, you know, the apostles and the movement. And so when he killed James, they got really happy about it. They were excited. And so Herod said, well, maybe I can do some more, make him even happier. Because he wasn't a very popular guy. And he liked when the Jews supported him or, you know, were happy with him rather than complaining. So he was always looking to please them. And when he had apprehended him, Peter, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quaternion of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter, or at Easter should be Passover. It's the only place the word Easter appears in the Bible, and it's just a bad translation. It's Passover. To bring him forth to the people. So he puts him in jail. Four quaternion of soldiers is 16 soldiers. Four sets of four. So I guess they rotated, whatever. Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And what a great thing that was. They got together, they prayed. Well, you know, and that's what we do. When we are faced with situations and crises or somebody needs help, first thing we should resort to is prayer. The prayer of the church is mighty. It's powerful. And it brings results. So they prayed to God for him. And when Herod would have brought him forth the same night, in other words, the next day he was going to bring him forth and have him executed, the same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers bound with two chains and the keepers before the door kept the prison. So like I said, two inside the prison next to him on each side and then two outside the door. That's the four, right? Mm-hmm. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison and smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, arise quickly, and his chains fell off from his hands. Now, that's kind of a Hollywood miracle there, you know? There it is. You know. And the angel said unto him, gird thyself and bind on thy sandals. And so he did. And he said unto him, cast thy garments about thee and follow me. And he went out and followed him and knew not, that it was true, which was done by an angel, but thought he saw a vision. He thought he was having a dream. He didn't realize it was real. He was like, what's going on here? This is a dream, but so real. And when they were past the first and the second ward, they came into the iron gate that leadeth into the city, which opened to them of its own accord. The door just opened. You know, they had this big iron gate locked, and it just opened. That's pretty cool. When I was on my interim year in Wilmington, Delaware, this is pretty cool. I witnessed to this girl, and her friend was in a mental ward at the hospital. And so God said, you can go talk to her and help her. So I did, and there was the door, and I saw it, and I walked in. And I knew which girl it was, and I started talking to her. I was there for, I don't know, a long time, half hour or so, ministering to her and stuff. And this nurse comes along, she said, how'd you get in here? I said, I walked in. She said, how? I said, I walked through the door. She said, that's locked. I said, well, it wasn't that time. God opened the door for me. It was pretty cool. God can do stuff like that, can he? Pretty wild. So, anyway. Where was I? Verse 11. Oh, verse 10. And when they passed the first, second ward, which fell, it went, the door opened of its own accord. They went out and passed on through the street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. You know, angels are pretty cool, but a lot of times they appear, what, as men, right? Mm-hmm. Remember Abraham and the angels came? I don't even know if he knew that they were angels. It doesn't say that. He saw they were men. He offered them food and made them a dinner. And then they went to see Lot. He didn't know they were angels. And he tried to protect them. And then they saved his life. You know, it says in Hebrews, be nice to strangers because they may be angels unawares. You know, and all of us maybe have had an angel touch our life at a different time. When my wife was pregnant with Jeffrey, she got very sick and she was in the hospital. And she was just miserable. And she kept going into labor. She was in her seventh month. And at that time, 1981, you know, that was pretty dangerous. That was still pretty early. And so, you know, I kept giving her this drug to stop the labor. So one day she's sitting there and she's really, you know, upset. And this little black girl came in, a nurse, and she talked to her and prayed with her and ministered to her and blessed her. And she left. And then when she was getting ready to leave, she said to the doctors or the nurses, she said, I'd really like to see that little black nurse. She really helped me. She said, there is no black nurse here. So you take it for what it's worth. You just don't know. God sends angels, and sometimes we don't even know they're angels. God bless them. Now, as soon as it was day, there was no small stir among the soldiers that what was become of Peter. And when Herod had sought for him and found him not, he examined the keepers and commanded that they should be put to death. You know why? Because the rule was, if you lost the guy you were guarding, you got his penalty. That's the way they ran things back then. So if you were a guard, you definitely wanted that guy to be there. And when he wasn't there and he had the death penalty, they got it. And he went down from Judea to Caesarea and there abode. And that's the end of that story. So God never fails. He always supplies our needs. And we don't know where it's coming from or how he's going to do it. It could be an angel. It could be a brass serpent. It could be any number of things. You know, it could be unbelievers supplying something that you didn't even know you needed sometimes. God just takes care of us. He's always faithful. He's always reliable. He's always true. And we just need to keep focused on him. Keep looking at him. Never doubting the fact that he will take care of it. So, Father God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for loving us. We thank you for being a faithful and true God, a God that never fails, that never forsakes, that is always there for us in every situation, in every circumstance. And we just thank you, God, that we can be aware of you, that we can allow you to work in us, to will and to do of your good pleasure, that we can more and more be spiritually minded and allow you to teach us and show us and work in our hearts. So we thank you for these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.